Welcome to the Journeys in Business podcast. I'm Jess, owner of Jess Creatives. This podcast is here to inspire and empower you as I talk with other entrepreneurs about their journey in business. Let's get into the show. Hey, Valerie. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Jess. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah. So to start us off, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us about your business?
Okay, great. My name is Valerie Gernhauser, and I am the owner of Sapphire Events, which is based in New Orleans, also Ruby and Pearl Events, and also the Sapphire Sessions for Creatives. I am a recovering attorney. So I went to law school and got my law license and graduated in the worst job market ever, and also happened to get married to my husband that same year. So I fell into weddings kind of unconventionally. And not with a permanent goal for this to be my career, but lo and behold, it is. And I'm very happy doing this. I could never imagine going back to a law firm and working in a cubicle or an office. So this is very, very much right up my alley. And what we do with Sapphire Events is planning and design and production and management. So full planning, if you will. And then Ruby and Pearl is a sister company I have for clients that are looking for day of or month of, which is terminology I'm looking to go extinct because I much prefer the term event management, which describes a lot better of what it is that we actually do. So Ruby and Pearl serves those brides looking for event management services and targets that kind of clientele, which is different from my Sapphire Events bride, which is a higher level, higher touch client. And then with Sapphire Sessions, what I do is work with wedding and creative event professionals on pricing for profit, for what I call what's between your ears, getting paid for that, which I think is really important.
Yes.
And also strengthening contracts is one of the things that I found out the deeper I got into this business is that something that I loved in law school was contract writing and the different ways that you can protect yourself as a small business owner that not a lot of people know or realize. So I'm on a mission to help our industry from the ground up with the Sapphire Sessions for Creatives.
Nice. So how did you, I'm assuming you did not launch all three of these at the exact same time. So how did you like roll out these businesses and how did you like get the idea?
Sure. So I got married in 2009, and about 6 weeks before my wedding, I got laid off from my small firm job, and we came back from our honeymoon. My husband's also an attorney. He got laid off from his small firm job. So we decided to start our own law firm together, the Gernhauser Group. I am not from New Orleans, and he is, so it made sense for him to build a client base. And I knew a lot about weddings, having just gotten married. So I reached out to a planner in my area and said, I will sweep your floors for a paycheck. I really, you know, need to contribute to the income here. So that's how I got into the wedding business. And then through that, I learned a lot about what I saw could be improved in our market. And I left working for that planner and tried my hand at the law firm stuff again. There really wasn't any business. I was 9 months pregnant with my first child and literally awake at 2 a.m. one night and said, what am I going to do? I'm bringing a life into this world. I am not contributing to anything right now. And I am not a person that likes to sit still. So what am I going to do? And at 2 a.m, I came up with the idea to start my own wedding planning firm, set out to be the best in New Orleans, call it Sapphire Events. I'm a September baby, so Sapphire is my birthstone. And I just liked the feeling and emotion behind it. And so I got so excited and I woke my husband up at 2 a.m. and said, guess what? I figured it out. This is what I'm going to do. And he said, oh, you're so sweet. You're really hormonal. I've got court in the morning. Go back to sleep. So he just thought it was a fly-by-night kind of thing. But I set out the very next day to make it happen. And I was delivering a baby in 3 weeks. So I put together a photo shoot, got images, built a website from the ground up. I DIY'd my own brand. And so I've definitely been there. And then wrote all my contracts and got everything buttoned up and just waited for the phone to ring. And that was in 2011. And then in 2013 or so, I had come up with the idea for Ruby and Pearl and launched that later that year. And then the Sapphire Sessions I launched last year. And it's just sort of been an evolving thing. As I get deeper into the business, I discover, you know, a need or a niche in the market that needs to be served. And I am always open to reevaluating how I do things and come up with a way to serve the need that I see.
That's really cool. I think it's really cool that you develop these different platforms, these different businesses, just based on needs that you saw. And because it's a great way to serve your, like, the industry and the community and really, like, share your talents and your knowledge and not just like, oh, I see that that is happening and I'm just going to, like, watch it happen.
Right. Actually, like, I mean, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's frustrating to sit by and watch something happen that I feel like could be easily fixed or changed by tweaking the system a little bit. So I've definitely done that in my own business where I'm not committed to one way of doing things all the time. I'm constantly looking for an opportunity to change or shift or grow. Because it is ever changing. It's so, I mean, just from when I was planning my own wedding back in 2008 and where we are 8 years later with everything that's available to brides and businesses now, it's amazing lightning speed how things have changed. So,
And I think that's a reoccurring theme that I've heard from business owners is that you have to constantly tweak. You can't stay glued to doing the same thing that you've done for the last 5 years. Like, you have to evolve and tweak as you go, which can be hard and scary, like making changes in your business, but otherwise you get left behind, you know?
Right.
So what is your favorite part about what you do?
I love being creative. So my whole life I've been an artist since I was a little kid and painting, drawing, sculpting has always been right up my alley. When I went to law school, it was like my dark age because there's no room for being creative really. And then when I fell into this business the way that I did, I realized that the industry lends itself to the creative individual. So the fact that I get to design in a space with flowers and textiles and colors and lighting and just approaching art in a different way really opened my eyes to, gosh, this is something I haven't tapped into in a while. And then, you know, being able to incorporate sketches into my design plan reinvigorated my love for sketching and drawing and painting and things like that, that I literally hadn't touched in probably 15 or 20 years. And then also, too, with my law background, it's given me access to the kinds of individuals I wanted to help when I went to law school in the first place, which was small business owners and working in transactional law and helping protect the so-called little man. And what I've learned, the more vendors that I work with, it's given me exposure in some weird way to the kinds of people that I really want to grow and help legally. Even though I'm not practicing as an attorney by any stretch of the imagination, but I do have a lot of opinions about how people can improve their business practices. So it's given me access to a way that I never would have been able to find had I not fallen into this business in the way that I did. So it's both my left brain and right brain.
Yeah.
Is why I love doing what I do. It really lights up everything for me.
Yeah. It's a nice blend of both of your, all of your knowledge, right, which is great. So what is your big why? What drives you?
I guess the whole reason I got into the business was seeing that void and that need for improvement. And so what really drives me is knowing that there is, there are needs that the clients are asking for, don't really know how to articulate, but that I know, having done this business for almost 6 years now, I know what it is they're actually trying to get at. So my drive is to find new and better and more efficient ways to meet those needs for them. Because what they're going for is the, you know, biggest day of their lives and this milestone for families that they're going to remember for generations. So the stakes are really high there.
Yeah.
And that's really important to me. And then everything about the way I do business is twofold. It's client-based and it's creative partner-based. So on the creative partner side, it's making sure that people are pricing themselves for profit because we're all mom and pop shops in this world.
Yeah.
And we are in it to put food on the table and put our kids through school and save for retirement. And it's really hard to do that when there isn't a clear-cut path for how do you make money that you can save and put away and do, you know, the things that you want to do with this business and avoid burnout and structure yourself so that way you can, you know, really live a life. And so that's what drives me in both routes.
That's really awesome. I love that. So if you could go back to like your first week, your first month and tell yourself something, what would you tell yourself?
Gosh, there's a lot. If I could like have a portal back to my self 5 years ago to what I would say, but probably the biggest thing that I wish I would have known right out of the bat was that you don't have to do what everybody else is doing. And at the time when I opened my business, I thought, well, I have to get a profile on a major website and I have to buy a full page ad in my local magazine and I have to do this and I have to do that because that's what everybody else does. And at the time, I feel like I could sense it. I was losing the forest for the trees, that I felt like there was something greater or bigger that was out there.
Yeah.
And I was missing it. So, but I was missing it because I was focused on the wrong thing. So what I would tell myself is you don't have to do what everybody else is doing around you. Take risks, come up with new ways to carve your own path, and don't be afraid to do something that's different or other than what the status quo is really going after. So it took me time to realize that and set out on my own, but it's definitely what has led me to the path that I'm on now.
Yeah.
And I'm much happier. I don't, compare myself to others, which is something else that was really challenging for me. I really am feeling confident in my own skin and what we deliver and how it's different. So I'm glad that I figured that out when I did.
Yeah. I feel like recently there's been this kind of trend of more people talking about you don't have to follow everyone else's like strategies just because someone like makes a course or writes a blog post about this is how I do X, Y, Z. Like that might not work for you.
Right.
That's true. You know, take some tips and try it, but don't be glued to it. Like tweak it like we talked about. And then also I think we go back to, we started this business because we're passionate about it and whatnot. And it's like, you can do business your way.
Exactly.
I mean, yes, to a certain extent, like you can't do whatever you want. Like you still need to make money and all that stuff. But it's like, if you don't want to work on Mondays, then like, don't work on Mondays. do what works for you, whether it's strategy or like overall, like how you run your business in general. But I think too many entrepreneurs are too scared to like go against the grain.
They're
well, everyone else does it this way. And if I don't, then I'm going to fail. But you don't know if you don't try.
Right. Well, yeah. And I hear that so much from people in the creative business because it's scary. And because, like I said, there isn't a neatly carved path here on how to do X, Y, and Z and make a living. We're all sort of throwing spaghetti at the wall and trying to figure out what works, you know?
Yes.
But I'm finding that with my sessions, for example, I'm talking about a pricing structure that's really different than just a flat fee or just a percentage-based pricing. And it's radical because it's asking for a lot of money that I believe we deserve in our industry, but it's higher than what a lot of fees and local markets are doing. And I encourage my attendees to not price yourself or hold yourself back because your market dictates your price or your competition dictates your price. You dictate your price because your needs are different from your neighbors and what you have to accomplish and what you bring to the table is unique and different. And you have to realize that it's not about, oh, she's $500 less than me. It's it should be much more of a broad, you know, difference.
Yes.
But you gotta operate not out of fear, out of confidence. Mm-hmm. And that's a big challenge for a lot of people. So
yeah, pricing is scary for a lot of people. Like yeah. What I was charging a year ago from today is like a third of the price.
Like, yeah.
And it's crazy because even now I'm still on the lower end. And like, so I was very, very low a year ago. And I remember being like so scared to raise my prices. I was like, no one is going to hire me. And like slowly like inched my way up. And now I get better clients and I get more, like I'm more booked out than I was before. And I try to tell people that and they're like, yeah, it's like they believe, you know, they're like, that's really awesome. But then they're like, it wouldn't work for me. Like,
but
you have to, I think we undervalue ourselves a lot. And it's
absolutely,
it's tough. It's probably one of the toughest parts about running your own business is figuring out how to price yourself. Yeah. So is there anything that you wish you had done differently over the last 5 years?
I don't really think so. I'm a believer in everything that, has happened to me has brought me where I am today. And if I would have changed one thing, maybe for good or for bad, I don't know, but, yeah. I like the journey. Like that's part of the thrill for me is learning, what it is that, I have to do to change and shift and adjust for my next challenge. And I can only get there from the things that I learned and did before. So I've definitely made some mistakes, that I've learned from, and I wouldn't change them. I wouldn't trade them for the world. They really did, need to happen to me at the time that they did. So that way I could learn and grow and improve for the better.
Yeah. Like I hear a lot of people saying, don't be afraid to fail.
Right.
You learn from it. And that's when you continue to tweak things and grow, even though it sucks to have like a launch that flops or a product that doesn't sell, but that's when you learn the most and it's just
absolutely
part of the process.
So it is.
What's coming up next? What are you working on for 2017?
I have, I'm actually working on my very first e-course with the Sapphire Sessions. So what I've been doing with the sessions before is I have a Facebook group, Sapphire Sessions for Creatives. And from that, I did a 19-city speaking tour at the beginning of this year, or about a year ago. So last fall booking season into the beginning of this year. And traveling around to different communities, meeting with people, talking about my pricing structure, using actual numbers, talking about my contract and selling points to book clients. But traveling is hard. My husband home with my two girls when I'm not there. And so I promised him that I would only go to 5 cities this fall. And but I'm still seeing that there are so many people who either can't make the sessions in person, but still really need and want this information. So I've had it on my mind and my heart for a long time to do this online course where I can reach a much, cast a broad net and reach a lot more people that are interested in this information, but also spread the good word about it. So I'm hoping for that to launch at the beginning of 2017. And I'm in the process of developing all the content, the modules and everything now, but, I'm really excited about it and, how it's going to change the business for the better for all of us. And it's really something to offer everybody, not just planners or designers. It's across the board. So I'm very excited about what's to come with that and look forward to, announcing that soon. So,
yeah. Do you know any of the cities you're going to in 2017?
Yes, I just got back from Denver last week. I'm heading to Jacksonville, Raleigh, Durham. I'm hosting one in New Orleans for people whose cities I can't get to. And then a couple more cities, Nashville I'm returning to, and Boston. I've got a
bunch
of people in Boston that have signed up already. So that's going to be a really big one. But yeah, I'm keeping it small this time.
Yeah.
And this will be my last tour in person. So I love to travel. It doesn't take much to get me on a plane, but I need to focus on reaching more people, and mm-hmm. that I just can't do in person. So
yeah. This is kind of it's on topic, but a little bit unrelated. How did you, I think it would be really fun because I love to travel too, but how did you pick the cities? Do you just ask where all your people live and then okay, there's a bunch of people in Boston?
It's a great question. It was really organic. I did a Periscope about my pricing structure about this time last year, I did 12 events in 8 days, and that's not something I really recommend, but I felt different in the middle. There was a 1 day break in the middle there between the events, and I felt amazing about it. And I know that if I had priced myself different, the way I used to price, the flat fee structure, that I would feel worn out, burned out, resentful of my clients. So I went on Periscope and just said, I'm going to put this out in the universe and then go about my business. And so I just talked about my pricing in a very honest way. And Periscope was a big thing back then. It's hard to believe it's not really that much now, but
it's so weird.
People really got a hold of it. And on Facebook, that day and the next day, that one Periscope was getting shared before it expired in 24 hours, back and forth so much. I was getting tagged. I had 300 Facebook notifications in a day, which never happens to me. I'm hardly ever on Facebook as it is. But I recognized there was some kind of movement happening. So people were in these little pockets as I was getting tagged, were commenting on these threads saying, hey, let's have a meetup in our city and talk about this, and let's affect change in our community, and we all have to band together. And I thought, well, if they're meeting to talk about this one video, why don't I go there and give them all of the information that I have and all the lessons I've learned over this first year of the pricing structure?
Yeah.
So that's what sort of set it off, and I figured out where the majority of the pockets were and just traveled to them. I promised my husband it would be cities I could fly into and out of in the same day.
Nice.
So it was mostly places that had direct flights from New Orleans, which is a lot of places actually. So Chicago, and DC, New York, and Boston I did in one fell swoop. And then, but really blanketed the South.
Yeah.
And this time around, I asked on my Facebook group where the most interest was, and I told them I only have 5 cities I'm going to go to. So so that helped me narrow down the field a little bit. But it was just an organic process just to see where people needed me most and where they really wanted to hear from me.
Yeah.
I think Chicago had the most. I had 13 attendees in Chicago. I average about 4 or 5 people per city, but that was big. Houston and Dallas were each very big too. And Nashville was really big. There were 8 or 9 there. So
nice. That's really cool. That sounds really fun.
It was exciting.
Yeah. So
I've seen a lot of airports.
Yes. So where can we connect with you online to follow you and find out about this upcoming course?
Sure. I am on Instagram, Sapphire Events, and also Ruby and Pearl Events. I am on Facebook. The best way to find me is on the Sapphire Sessions for Creatives Facebook group. It's an open group that people can just request to join. I'm on there every day. You can find out more about my pricing structure on YouTube by searching Sapphire Sessions. It's the only video up there. and that sort of explains a little bit more of the meat behind what my mission is with this. And then my website is sapphireevents.com, and you can email me at valerie@sapphireevents.com as well with any questions or concerns about what I'm doing. Some people think it's crazy to be out there and talking about pricing this way, but I have nothing to lose and we all have everything to gain. So
yes, that's awesome.
I'm welcome to sharing all of that. So
cool. Well, thank you so much for chatting with me today. This is really fun.
Great. Thank you. I had so much fun, and I appreciate everything you're doing with this. I'm excited for your mission.
If you enjoyed this podcast, I'd love for you to subscribe, leave a review, and share it with your friends. You can also watch these interviews on my YouTube channel if that's more your style. I'd love to connect with you on social media at Jess Creatives or on my website, jesscreatives.com.